Hello and a very warm welcome to the world outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. The Quad took a quantum leap last week with its first summit level meeting. The four leaders from US, India, Japan and Australia termed it as historic. Has the Quad come of age and what's the road ahead? Defence analyst and director for Society for Policy Studies, Commodore Uday Bhaskar, will answer some of those questions today. Welcome, Commodore Bhaskar.
Thank you.
Sir, can a summit level meeting be seen as some sort of formalization of the group of four countries? They've also issued a joint statement for the first time.
I think both these are significant. The first is that we now have a joint statement issued by the four heads of state, as it were, and this has been followed up by the equivalent of a joint op-ed comment in a major U.S. daily. I think both these put together, these two documents, if you will, or the two texts, in a way represent the political endorsement of the Quad as a grouping. And I think that is significant because till now, it seemed that the Quad was a work in progress. And to that extent, I think the way in which the four leaders arrived at a consensus about what would be the roadmap for the next few years, if you will, is to my mind a potentially significant development because there is a lot of work ahead. Each country would have to make its own choices. But I would say the development is significant in conveying resolve as also giving a slight indication about the domains and the areas that would be prioritized. Personally, I'm very happy that the COVID working group has been put into place because for every country in the world, including China, the COVID pandemic has resulted in a fair amount of convulsion and an enormous amount of human suffering. So I think the COVID has been given the due political attention. And of course, there are other working groups. So all put together, I would say potentially significant, but there is a lot of work ahead.
Commodore Bhaskar, is a common thread of China the only reason that these four countries are in it together? And isn't then that too weak a commonality for coming together of all these countries, considering in future things could change and one country or the other could have a changed equation with China and then once again become a hesitant partner?
Well, I would say the concern about China has definitely been the catalyst. Because if you recall, Maha, the Quad came into existence in a de facto way when there was a challenge, and that was the tsunami of December 2004. There was no agenda. There were no joint statements. Four countries got together at that time, as it happened, led by India, because we were the most proximate country, and the Indian Navy, if I may say so with a touch of pride, was the first to respond. Other countries followed. But from then onwards, you know, it's been very uneven. But the concern about China became more and more visible in the period 2017 onward. And I think that provided the political traction. But at the same time, as a security analyst, I would make the point that no grouping in any form can move very far ahead of a defensive negative determinant, meaning that if you were to define the Quad only as anti-China, that would be limiting. And I think this is where Prime Minister Modi also underlined the fact to have an open, inclusive approach while maintaining certain amber lights and red lines, particularly in relation to international law, customary practice, freedom of navigation, and all the other elements. So I am actually very gratified that there is an ambitious agenda, it's a positive agenda, and it is trying to offer options to the region, which are, in a way, I think, an alternate to what China is also bringing to the table by way of the BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative. So as I said, I repeat the point that it is ambitious, it has got a wide spectrum, it's not confined only to the military or the navy. And if the COVID and the technology working groups along with infrastructure. For instance, there has been some criticism that the Quad is trying to do too much. But I think what the Quad is trying to do is to identify areas and then see whether or not the pooling of resources and capabilities could be a way ahead. And again, I come back to COVID, where because it is the most immediate and pressing challenge, you can see that each country is bringing its own USP to the table. India is the manufacturer now of pharma in a very, very, I would say, vast scale. It has the ability to scale up. The United States, Japan, and Australia are willing to provide resources in whichever way that they feel that they have something to bring to the table. If this translates into the speedy, I would say, dispatch and making available the vaccine to those countries in the Indo-Pacific who are in the most vulnerable situation, you establish the credibility of the Quad. Maybe a few months later, maybe a year later, when the COVID is under control, you move to another sector. So I think in that sense, it is flexible. It is empathetic, which is very important. And hopefully, the Quad will offer options to these countries without the kind of strings that are attached to what China brings to the region or to the Indo-Pacific.
Interesting there, sir, because yes, these vaccines are largely aimed at supply in the Indo-Pacific. And time and again, the Quad countries have spoken about the centrality of ASEAN in the Indo-Pacific as well and the strategy there as well. Can the ASEAN countries be prodded for a code of conduct in the waters, paving the way then for the Quad to take it on from there? Or do you see ASEAN being too weak to take on a country as big and powerful as China in the region?
Well, first of all, I would say don't prod anybody, whether it's a big country or a small country. I think we should try to persuade them. And that is where I think the Quad, if it is able to, frankly, harmonize its own political positions and diplomatic outreach, because it would be unfair to expect that the ASEAN, which also has its own internal, I would say, dissonance, it's a 5+5 arrangement, the original 5 and the other 5 who join. Some of them are very vulnerable in their own way. This is my personal kind of position, which I've long maintained, that do not force ASEAN either collectively or individually to make binary choices. It's either China or the US, either China or India, because I think that would be untenable. Whereas I think you should offer them options to say that, okay, if China is able to provide whatever be the nature of the support, you have another option which is being steered by the Quad plus or minus. And I think in that manner, one would be able to perhaps make ASEAN also more, not quite autonomous, but give them space, because we have to accept that there is a differential of power capabilities, which is part of international relations. So there is a pecking order. You have the United States today as the largest GDP. Very soon, China will become the largest GDP. India will hopefully be the third largest GDP as and when the transition takes place. So the ASEAN countries are aware. They are all also dependent on trade. So I think the Quad should not only enable their infrastructure and their supply chains, but also give them a sense of security. Today, COVID vaccine is addressing human security. Tomorrow, if there are other issues which relate to maritime security, ASEAN should not feel that it has been abandoned, which was the sense one got when China rejected the tribunal award in relation to the South China Seas and the case taken by Philippines. It's a different matter that the politics of Philippines have changed. But when that happened, nobody was willing to stand up in a visible manner, whether it was political or diplomatic. So which is why I think China's greeting assertiveness became more aggressive. So I'm hoping that the Quad would move in that direction.
All right. Also, sir, the U.S. said that Quad is not a new NATO. This was Jake Sullivan, the U.S. NSA. He said, despite all the propaganda, it's not the new NATO. Now, we do know that the Quad, of course, is not militarized. Hence, it can't be seen as a new NATO. But is the U.S. ruling out the militarization of Quad completely at this stage?
I don't think so, because there are two aspects here. it's possible to envision a NATO when you talk about land forces. Our image of NATO is Central Europe, East Germany, West Germany, and the US-led West, and the Warsaw Pact led by the former Soviet Union. Tanks, artillery, eyeball to eyeball. I mean, this is the collective image. We are talking about the Indo-Pacific, where it is not possible practically to have naval ships, flotillas constantly on call in the Indo-Pacific because of the nature of naval power and the ocean as a medium. But if you look at the joint statements, if you look at the individual foreign ministers, subsequently by the heads of state, and now in the op-ed and the other documents we've seen, maritime security has a significant mention. How do you translate maritime security? That is where I think the military dimension, particularly the naval, come into play. And there are various elements. It's not just about aircraft carriers and fighter aircraft and guns booming, but a very quiet kind of effort, which also includes a large component of surveillance, both on the surface, in space, and subsurface. My sense, I don't have a smoking gun, but I'm sure that when the professionals get together, these are the elements that would be addressed, and a certain signal would be sent to China at some point that the Quad does have the ability to move into a military dimension should the exigency arise.
All right. My final question to you, Commodore Bhaskar, is with regards to the meeting between the new Biden administration top officials and the top officials, ministers of the Chinese government that is going to take place in Alaska on the 18th. And simultaneously, we also saw last week, just hours before the Quad summit level meeting, the WMCC meeting between India and China was also held to resolve the LAC friction as well. Do you see all the four Quad countries also trying to do their own balancing act individually with China? Am I reading too much in the Alaska meeting between US and Chinese side?
Not at all. I think you're spot on. The short answer is yes. I think each of the Quad countries is trying to evolve its own balance in relation to China. So I think the meeting in Alaska with the United States and China at the foreign minister SA level is indicative of the US-China bilateral, because China also is keen to have a stable relationship with the United States, and same I would say obtained for India, which would like to have a stable relationship with China. But as our foreign minister Dr. Jaishankar pointed out, it would have to be in a manner that is sensitive to India's own concerns. And I think he used a very, very relevant turn of phrase where he said that if you point a gun at me, I would have no choice but to respond. So I think there is a certain firmness and resolve in his statement. And similarly, if you look at Japan, Mr. Suga, the Japanese Prime Minister, had made explicit reference to the areas of concern as far as Japan is concerned in relation to China. This came up even in his telephone conversation with Mr. Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, before the Quad Summit. And we are familiar with Australia's own attempt at trying to, in a way, I think, restore some balance in its own bilateral with China, which has, I think, been very, very traumatic for Australia. China is not oblivious to the fact that now each of these countries is trying to ensure or encourage China to recognize the areas of sensitivity and the core national interest for each of them. So I think this is going to go on, and we should encourage it. Because at the end of the day, which is why I started with this question about do not predicate the future of a grouping on a negative sentiment. I think the world would be better off if China was brought into the tent, but we have to ensure that it's along a track that is acceptable to all. This is, I think, of the approach of the Quad, saying that there are certain principles, there are amber lights, there are red lines. Can we all accept those? I think that is the challenge.
Commodore Udhay Bhaskar, many thanks for that insightful conversation.